Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 148 of the Milk Bar. Jason here with you in real life. And Zoe on the end of the phone because you are away still. Hello.
Hello.
You promised you were going to get back for tonight's show.
I know. I'm in, by Manchester somewhere.
I thought you were going to Wales for the weekend.
Yeah. We're following Satnav and it's taking us back a funny way, I think.
That's not the best of moves, is it, really? But there we go. the main reason for getting you on the phone, not only to berate you for not having come in and me there, so good job, because I left your Easter egg at home, but just to wish you a very happy birthday.
Yes, thank you very much.
How old are you?
I am 39.
And the rest?
No, it is 39.
Okay, I believe you.
The big 4-0 next year, unfortunately.
It's not that painful, I speak from bitter experience.
I know. It's only a number.
It is, and it's a very high one. But it's things
when you halfway to being 80.
Yeah, well, when you turn 40, you'll actually your age will surpass your IQ, won't it?
No.
No. Right. I don't believe it. Right. Well, happy birthday! And can I go with the show now?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, but nice to talk to you.
Yes, have you. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. Got that out of the way. I'll tell you what's coming up on the programme today. We'll be hearing from the Chad Singers a little bit later on. Helen Wallington telling us all about an event they have coming up on the 28th of April. Mark Neal has been is commissioned, I think, is that the word, when it comes to poetry? He's been commissioned to write a poem for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee on behalf of Radio 2. We'll be hearing from him a bit later. We have music from Tim Judson, who joins us in the studio now. Hello, sir.
Hi there, Jason. You doing all right?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah.
Good. We'll talk to you and find out more about your music in a very short while's time. But first of all, we're going to find out about a charity auction which is taking place this coming Saturday, the 21st of April. And to tell us more is the organiser, Matt Brockmansky. Hello, sir.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm good. All well with you?
Yeah, really well, thank you.
Good stuff. Now, tell us about the auction and what it's in aid of to start off with.
Well, basically, it's in aid of a church based in Bloxwich, which is called Holy Ascension Church. The building that they're in have been in the building for, well, literally probably about 60 years. The building itself is about over 100 years. It's falling down, literally. Mm-hmm. Leaks everywhere. It's always forever having break-ins from people around the area. And we're looking to raise funds to build a new community church, which will not only help the people who attend the church, but obviously help the community as well.
That can't be cheap.
No, it's about £750,000.
Okay, and you're hoping to raise all this in one auction, are you?
Well, it'd be good if we could, but no, I don't.
How's the totaliser looking so far? Please tell me you've got a totaliser like they used to have on Blue Peter.
We actually took ours from Blue Peter. Yeah. It's about 25,000 at the minute.
So that's not a bad start.
That's all from fundraising.
I can't work out the percentage, but do you actually get to raise a certain amount and then borrow the rest to be paid back over a number of years?
Well, I hope so.
That's the plan.
We'll be having lottery funds, hopefully, as well, and we've got to be seen to be running these charity auction events. So.
Often you have to match an amount of funding to be able to get something similar from a body like that.
That's right, yes.
And the community angle, obviously, a good and important one. So the auction itself, what have you got up for grabs?
Well, we've teamed up with a company called Icons, who are the world's leading sporting memorabilia. We've got items from such as Lionel Messi shirts, Cristiano Ronaldo shirts, Robin Van Persie boots. We've also got a lot of England collection items. They're all come with a certificate of authenticity as well. We've got Wayne Rooney signed England shirts, mm-hmm. Stephen Gerrard shirts. We've also got some Wolves match-worn items, which the players themselves have kindly donated for us. We've got a Stephen Fletcher match-worn shirt from this season. Matthew Jarvis football boots from this season, and also Kevin Doyle football boots from this season as well.
So a wide array of stuff. How many lots are there altogether? Or haven't you added it up yet?
We haven't added it up
no,
yet.
You have that look of panic on your face then.
We've probably got about 45 items in all in total.
So it's going to be a big night. So what time is it to start and where is it at?
It's from 6:30 till 9:30, and it's at Little Bloxwich School, which is based in, obviously, in Bloxwich. Mm-hmm. It's about 5 minutes away from Holy Ascension Church.
And how many sort of people are you expecting to come along to the event? Because I suppose there's people from the church itself who are going to want to bid on some of these items, but it's open to all.
Definitely, well, the people who attend the church are mainly our biddies, to be honest.
They won't thank you for saying that.
No, but they won't, no. But luckily, like I said, it's because we've got some... the Wolves players who have donated the items. We've got Matt Jarvis, who's actually advertised it on his Twitter page.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a player who's not with Wolves at the moment, Adlin Gudiola, who's advertised on his...
Do you mean Adlin Gudiora?
Yeah,
that's him.
What I said.
Yeah, who's nothing like.
Who's advertised on his Twitter page as well. We're also seeing the Express and Star tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the Express and Star Friday night as well.
So plenty of advertising. Get yourself down there and chance to bid on a number of items. Now, many of the items will have a reserve price on them, but they're all going to go for a very good cause, and it's about making sure the community and the church have a great building to be able to use in Bloxwich and can maybe use for the next 100 years before another round of charity auctions to build the following one.
That's right, yes.
Sounds like a plan.
That's a plan.
Okay, people do want to get in touch. How do they do so, and where can they find out more?
They can contact me directly on my mobile number, which is 077-924-60874, or send me an email, which is matt_phoenix@hotmail.co.uk.
Everyone's quite relieved they haven't got to try and spell Bratmansky.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Phone number and email address again are...
077-924-60874, and my email address is matt_phoenix@hotmail.co.uk.
So if they want to find more information about any of the specific items you have that are going into the auction, they can do. Or if maybe they've got something they want to donate that does come with that certificate of authenticity, you might be able to sell that on the night as well and make more funds.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we're open to things like that. If people want to donate their items, we'd be very gladly to receive them. Mm-hmm. Also, there'll be free buffet food at night time, so if you get a bit peckish, you can wander over to the buffet.
So there's another reason to come along.
That's right.
And is it a charge to get in?
It's going to be £1 just to get in, that's all.
Okay, so that'll cover yourself for a buffet, and you can probably buy drinks and things down there, so you can have a relaxing, enjoyable evening and watch the auction taking place as well.
That's right, yes.
Great. Matt, thank you for joining us. You're going to stick around?
Yeah, we're going to stick around.
And you've got your other half with you as well. So,
yeah,
so,
Embo's sitting out there.
Embo, Emily, hello. Stop. She's saying, stop calling me Embo. She's not happy with that. There'll be a fight before the evening's out, I can tell. So you're going to hang around and listen to some music, because we do have here in the studio this as well, Mr. Tim Judson. Hello, sir.
Yeah, hello again. You okay?
I'm good. So what's going on?
What's going on? Well, basically, you got in touch with me a few weeks ago, didn't you?
And said, because Will from the council said, this bloke, he's good. And here you are now, and you're going to prove it, I trust.
Well, hopefully.
We'll have a chat and find out about your music in a bit. But first of all, you can play a tune for us. What have you got?
Cool. This is a song called Stand Again.
Take it away.
Someone say, when a good friend comes your way, if you want them to stay, you need to give a little too. And here we are right now, with our hearts as one somehow, and I wouldn't be without the special friend I found in you. So when you find you start to fall, you feel you've lost it all, I'll be with you till the end, and I'll help you stand again. When you find you start to fall, and you feel you've lost it all, I'll be with you till the end, and I'll help you stand again. I've had friends for seasons, some I've made for reasons, but you I would have chosen out of all of the people here. And I'm not a perfect man, but still you take me as I am, sharing laughter when we can, as well as every single tear. So when you find you start to fall, and you feel you've lost it all, I'll be with you till the end, and I'll help you stand again. When you find you start to fall, and and you feel you've lost it all, I'll be with you till the end, and I'll help you stand again. And so hold on when your feet are sinking fast, and you don't know if you're last, you don't know if you're last. For I'll not let go until the day we're through, when I'll stand and smile with you, I'll stand and smile with you. When you find you start to fall and you feel you've lost it all, I'll be with you till the end, and I'll help you stand again. When you find you start to fall and you feel you've lost it all, I'll be with you till the end, and I'll help you stand again.
Excellent. Thank you. Enjoy that. So tell us a bit about your music then, and how you got into to playing guitar, because it's something of a genetic trait, isn't it?
It is, yeah. My dad played since he was, in his teens, really. And so he's played for decades, and he's been a big inspiration for me. I mean, I was brought up on the saxophone, actually, and from about year four, so about the age of eight, started learning that. And when I went to university, I was training as a primary school teacher, and I went into this reception class, and the teacher was singing a bit of Barbara Black Sheep with the kids, and I thought, well, that could be a really good skill to have. And so I got my guitar, got a guitar for Christmas, and within about a month, I'd written my first song, actually. And, found a real sort of creative outlet for expressing myself. And it's kind of developed, really. I go on a lot of sort of mission trips with Christian organizations, and come back with a lot of inspiration of experiences I've had and lessons I've learned, and also the stories of the people I've met, and find a lot of material there to sort of communicate their story and their situation, and we'll record those sorts of songs and perform them at gigs and things.
So where did the song we just heard come from? What was the behind that one?
Well, that was a song for, I mean, I think, you often hear about, you know, what makes a good friend, and I guess from my experience, I mean, I'm only 26, so I've still hopefully got quite a long way to go before I pull the plug, but I've sort of found from the people I've chatted to, and also in my own life as well, that no matter what you sort of face, really, as long as you've got a handful of really good faithful friends, you can pretty much handle anything. So I guess it's kind of been inspired by people in my life who've been there for me and been faithful and been dependable. Yeah.
So is that the sort of thing we're going to hear more of, possibly? Or where do you think you'll share a few more of your songs from? Maybe some of the visits you made overseas?
Yeah, share one. I went to Uganda just a few years ago, was part of an organisation called BMS World Mission, working with people in the slums there. And I got a bit of a funny song I can sing you if you want.
OK, we'll look forward to that in a bit, and we'll find out more about your work too. But first of all, I go to the phones, where we find Helen Warlington from the Chad Singers. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Great. Now, you lot are involved in the Pattingham Park Redevelopment Project.
We are this year, yes. They're our chosen charity.
And you're fundraising for them, an event that takes place on the 28th of April.
That's right, yes.
Well, before we get onto the gig, tell us a bit more about the redevelopment project and the park itself.
Right, yes. Well, the park is a central area in the village where, you know, a lot of the villagers congregate, and indeed visitors. But unfortunately, our play equipment is now a little bit sad. It's a bit out of date, having been there for about 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to replace it with a range of natural play equipment, which will reflect the rural nature of our village, and use things like boulders and wood and so on, which is a more natural environment, which will engage our children and young people in their surroundings.
And I suppose there's been quite a change in the sort of play equipment you get in parks. I know the park that I used to go to as a kid, sort of 30-odd years ago, is now been pretty much emptied because you couldn't have one of those witch's hat things swinging round. Actual swings, I think, are pretty much out of favour at the moment as well, aren't they?
Yes, they are. It's as I say, it's served its purpose, but it is getting rather dated and rather sad. And as you say, swings, whilst they're enjoyable, they can actually be quite a hazard as well.
Health and safety, that's what counts. Although I have to admit, I did survive it myself, but you know, you've got to take out some of the risks.
That's right. So, it's more, I think, about the children exploring the play equipment rather than, you know, sitting on a swing and being pushed.
Mm-hmm. And you've got so a couple of events that are taking place here, because you normally have a few big performances, don't you, with the Chad Singers each year?
Yes, we do. We do. Our upcoming concert, as you mentioned, is Saturday 28th of April in the Village Hall at 7:30, which is our St George's concert, which finishes with the last night in the Proms. So that's always a rousing evening. Mm-hmm. And then later in the year, we have a Jubilee concert in October, and our carol service just before Christmas.
Now, all of this takes place in Paddington Village Hall, except for the carol service, but
that's right.
We're not plugging that one tonight. Yeah, we'll do that probably. Mike Cooper will probably be back on the phone for that one closer to Christmas.
That would be good.
But you've got, say, these two events, and the Paddington Village Hall, how many people can that hold?
Well, we're looking to have an audience of about 130.
Mm-hmm. You'll sell that out. You normally do, don't you?
We would hope so, yes, particularly as there's a supper on offer, as well as a licensed bar, a raffle, and we provide all the flags and whistles and hats for the last night of the Proms.
And I suppose as we get closer to the Jubilee, everybody's thinking last night the Proms is going to be a big one this year. And they say it is your Jubilee concert itself on the 20th of October.
That's
so
right.
It's going to be a big summer and autumn of red, white and blue in Paddington.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as you've already kindly mentioned, all our fundraising this year will go towards the Paddington Park redevelopment for the children.
And how much is that going to cost altogether? What sort of target are you aiming
for?
Well,
it's a bit pricey. The target is 50,000 to do everything we would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we may have to tailor it. You know, we've set ourselves the challenge and we're looking to raise as much as we can ourselves, as well as obviously exploring grant possibilities.
And a big part of it will be clearing the site, ready to have the new gear put in. And I suppose volunteers will be required for that
they
as
will,
well.
Yes. If anybody out there has got the right sort of equipment and know-how to clear sites, we'd love to hear from them.
Okay, well then do that via the Chad Singers website, I assume?
They can indeed, or there is actually a website for the Paddington Redevelopment Group, if I can give you that.
Certainly can.
It's www.paddingtononline.co.uk, and anybody can see the plans and some pictures of what we're hoping to achieve.
Okay, paddingtononline.co.uk. And if you do want more information on the Chad Singers, all their events, and also to get tickets?
Yes, please give me a call on 01902... 700 783.
01902 700 783. Or you can check the website out, chad-singers.co.uk.
Absolutely.
And what sort of music have you got lined up for the concert for St George, as well as the last night of the Prom stuff? Is there is it a great big British feel for the night?
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Some old English songs, ranging through to some newer ones. A bit of Gilbert and Sullivan in there. One from Merry England, which some of your listeners might remember. So, yes, very much a rousing English stroke British songs in the first half. And then the traditional songs you'd associate with Last Night of the Proms. We've also got our own Britannia, who appeared first time last year, decked in her flag.
Is this a person or is it a model?
No, it's a person.
A real person.
Yes, she sings.
Oh, you're a singing Britannia?
Oh, yes, a singing
Even
Britannia.
Okay, can you let us on who it is, or is it really Britannia?
Well, I think people will have to come along and see her.
Okay, you can get along there. It's on the 28th of April, Saturday night, 7:30 at the Paddington Village Hall. Please get your tickets in advance, as you may be disappointed if you don't book in advance, because it's going to be a really busy night. 01902 700 783, chad-singers.co.uk. What's the price to get in?
It's just £10.
And a good night is guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Helen, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers. Try for now.
Bye for now. Bye.
So now, whilst we're talking singing, a bit more from Tim. So, Tim, what have you got lined up for us this time around? Is this the comedy song?
Yeah, it's a bit of a silly song. It's a true story about some of the first experiences I had in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
We basically arrived and our host, Stephen Adundu Ogesa, was going to give us a sort of orientation of Kampala City, where we were based.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned up in this sort of battered old car about 3 hours late. And in the end, took us around the streets. And it was kind of this really weird experience of chilled out Ugandan people and psychotic drivers on the road. and also someone on my team who will remain nameless because she might check out the link on the website. But she was having some trouble with her anti-malarial tablets and happened to puke all over me. So, but it's a kind of song involving all of those things.
A song with mad drivers and vomit. Here we go then. Yeah. Please take it away, Mr. Tim Judson.
This is Fix My Car.
Of October in the morning, the start of a new day in the city of Kampala, and we all look like aliens, and all the local people shout Muzungu, hey Muzungu, which they can do if they want to, for I do not mind at all. Now the traffic here is crazy, with psychos everywhere. There are no rules for all the drivers, and they don't seem to care. And we kind of have a car to join the chaos on the road. But something's gone wrong with the engine, and it won't seem to go. Oh no! But still I'll wait here on this sweaty day and play with my guitar. The best thing I can do to help you quickly fix my car. So come on, Mr. Garage Man, see what you can do. For I'm stranded here in Africa, and my only hope is you. Now it's the second time this car has broken down here, and we have hardly moved. We're going nowhere very slowly, and won't arrive there soon. And I wish you don't start feeling even worse than we do now, cause someone's been sick on my shorts. I guess it could be worse somehow. Looking like a bunch of tourists here to try and save the world. With every ounce of strength and soul, we're working Africa's pearl. For Uganda is the place, but still the pace is not so good. And so I'm gonna ask again, please fix my car just like you said you would. You said you would. But still I wait here on this sweaty day and play with my guitar. The best thing I can do to help you quickly fix my car. So come on, Mr. Garage Man, see what you can do. For I'm stranded here in Africa, and my only hope is understand you're rather startled by my presence, but English people have a phrase that time is of the essence, and I'm chilled. Yes, I promise you I like to take it easy, but your horizontal way of life is starting to defeat me. But still I'm gonna wait here on this sweaty day and play with my guitar. The best thing I can do to help you quickly fix my car. Come on, Mr. Garage Man, see what you can do. For I'm stranded here in Africa, and my only hope. I'm stranded here in Africa, and my only hope. I'm stranded here in Africa, and my only hope is
excellent. I absolutely love that one as well. Brilliant. Cheers. So, how old were you when you went off there to Uganda? Yeah,
I was 22, 23, around about that age.
Yeah, so your oldness probably had to cope with it all. You'd done the university thing, so you'd seen some pretty awful conditions when you were away at uni.
Yeah,
and you were pretty much ready for anything Africa could throw at you.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was. I went out there kind of with the average attitude that your average sort of 22-year-old. Bloke would, thinking that they could go out and save the world, and was involved and really, really fortunately got involved in a lot of really good things to make a difference. But I think the experience changed me more than I changed the lives of the people out there, I think.
Well, that's one good thing, if not anything else. It's And that's probably helped with the work that you do in Wolverhampton, which we will come to later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right, we'll find out more about that in a short while's time. Meanwhile, we go to the phones, where we find a gentleman who we've spoken to once before when he was involved in the poetry slam in Bilston. He's now got a rather important royal commission in a special kind of a way. Mark Neil, hello, sir.
Hello, Jason, how are you?
I'm good. How's things in the world of poetry?
They're going very well, thank you. I've just come back from the wonderful poetry festival at Wenlock.
Yes.
And we've had a fantastic time there, and it's been a wonderful weekend.
That's good. Glad you enjoyed it. How was the weather? Because I was actually up in Yorkshire this weekend, and it rained on us a lot.
We had a little bit overnight, but the days were sunny, and so we didn't get rain on when we did poetry, which was great.
Because it does make the ink run, doesn't it? It doesn't help, really.
That's right.
It's not good. Soggy paper, bad move for poets. So tell us about this important commission that you've been given, the Radio 2 Queen's Jubilee poem.
Yes, that's right. I sort of got an email out of the blue asking if I would write, it was last week, if I would write a poem for the Queen's Jubilee, and it had had to be less than a minute, and it had to have all these sort of things that they wanted. And because I'm going away on holiday and had this Wenlock Poetry Festival, I thought I'll have to do it quickly. So I did it in a day and sent it. And fortunately, they've come back and said that they've loved it and they don't want any revisions or anything like that. So I'm really, really pleased. And it's going to be recorded by a posh actress. I'm sure I could have done the voice if they'd asked me.
Of a posh actress. I'm sure that would have been interesting.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be broadcast over the weekend, I think sort of 3rd, 4th June, something like that. But it's yet to be recorded and all that sort of stuff. But now I'm just thrilled.
That's absolutely brilliant. Congratulations on that one. So are there a number of different poets providing work for the whole weekend?
Well, I think they're getting lots of different artistic inputs to celebrate the Diamond Jubilee, and my poem was just one of them. So I think they've got a whole lot of events sort of lined up, and you know, there's a lot of things, sort of concerts and different sorts. And I know there is a book of poetry actually that's being put together by Carol Ann Duffy, the poet laureate, and she's commissioned 60 different poets to write a poem out every year in the Jubilee. I'm not included in that, but I've got this, so I'm really happy with this.
So is the actual poem now embargoed until the broadcast on Radio 2?
It is, unfortunately. I can tell people that it's going to happen, but I can't publish it and I can't read it to anyone. So there's a very small select group of, like, my wife and the producer of the programme, the producer's mum, who likes poetry as well. So the producer's mum liked it, so I think that was what sealed the deal, really.
It does the job. You've got to get the mother contingent on board.
Absolutely.
And is this going to help with the rest of your work and promotion? I assume that being an official poet for the Radio 2 Diamond Jubilee celebrations is going to help your cause no end.
Well, I hope so. There's also talk about me actually going on, and because I would love to have read it myself, actually, but I'm quite happy if it, you know, I'm not quite sure who the actress will be, but I'm sure they'll do a fantastic job. But there's talk about me going on to another programme as well soon, so that may well happen, which would be fantastic.
Brilliant. And what else is going on in the world of poetry for you? Because you've got plenty of workshops that you do taking place over the coming weeks and months.
Yes, that's right. I'm doing 4 or 5 days down in local schools here, where we're going to do workshops with all of the kids and end up with a school poetry slam. So we'll have a school slam champion, which I think will be wonderful. I've got a wonderful gig. I'm entertaining 450 brownies for a day, doing lots of workshops and stuff with them. But it all pays, which is great, because since I spoke to you last time, Jason, I've actually gone full-time professional.
Brilliant.
So redundancy came up at the beginning of the year, and I decided to take that option and just follow my love for words and see where it would lead me. So I've done all sorts of stuff. I did I lived down in Buckinghamshire, and I did the Best of Bucks talent show, and had shared a stage with that wonderful guy Bobby Davro, and Dave Lee Travis was one of the judges, and they all said some very nice things. So I've got some wonderful quotes, and things just seem to be going really, really well.
Glad to hear it. And it's stemming from the work that you've done up and down the country, and you've been rather popular. I mean, she did well at the Bilston Do, didn't you?
Yes, I won the Bilston Big Love Slam 2 years ago, and 2 years ago I won the Wenlock Poetry Festival Slam. In fact, last year I won a slam in Birmingham as well. So Birmingham's, I mean, I really love the people of Birmingham. If they don't like it, they let you know, but if they do like it, they're very appreciative. And so it's all been really, really good and positive, and I just long may it continue.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So yeah. The professional stuff really is helped by this sort of work, but... Does this mean that people can now book you to write things for maybe birthday cards, Christmas cards? Do you have a going rate for a poem? How does it work?
I will write to commission. I will even come and read to commission if people want to. There's a bit of a trend for thing they call house concerts, where people open their house and invite all their friends around and they get someone to come to them. So you get a very intimate gig that you wouldn't get, you know, and you've only got the people there that you know. So so I do all of that. And on my website, which is akickinthearts.co.uk, it's all there for commissions. And I sometimes get commissions for weddings and things like that, which is always a lovely thing to have.
And you're quite happy to turn up and read it for them. And have you got a poem you could share with us now?
Okay.
Putting you on the spot. Anything you choose, how would you sell your wares to us with a poetry? Maybe one of your favourite pieces that you've
done. Okay, this is dedicated to everyone who's ever had to share a house, and this is called My Half of the Fridge. My half of the fridge is the top half. Yours is the bit at the bottom. Now, we had a deal that we wouldn't steal. Do you remember? Or have you forgotten? It wasn't just a sausage you stole for your breakfast this morning. It was premium, it was prime, it was blooming well mine, and I find it has gone without warning. My half of the fridge is tidy. Your half of the fridge is not. You see, milk ought to be white and flow free, not lumpy and the colour of snot. And as for your vegetable chiller, oh, I really do shudder to think. The food has dissolved. New life has evolved. It moves on its own and it stinks. And where is the rent that you owe me? What, 6, 7 months thereabouts? Look, I'm not saying you're shirking, but this isn't working. Mother, you'll have to move out.
Brilliant. And on the spot without being forewarned. But I suppose you have to know all of your poems, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of what I do is performance poetry like that, or sometimes I call it stand-up poetry, actually. I'm doing one or two gigs in comedy clubs at the moment, and so that is performed. There's some more sort of sedate readings where you can actually read and have the words there, but I still deliver them with animation. And there are some that are gentler and sort of, you know, more... maybe reflective, and they're a different style of delivery, but those ones, they always go better if they're you do them off the top of your head and you deliver them with a bit of energy.
Mm-hmm. It works for me. Mark, good luck with the ongoing professionalism in the old poetry world, and we all look forward to the weekend of the Jubilee so we can hear your poetry on Radio 2. And give us the website one more time if people do want to book you for either a gig, an intimate gig, or maybe get you to write something on their behalf.
Okay, it's www.akickinthearts.co.uk.
Thank you very much, and hopefully speak to you soon, and maybe next time you're in the area, pop in and say hi.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Pleasure,
cheers.
Jason.
Thanks then, Mark. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Now, Tim, we move back to you and your guitar, and you're yawning. What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. That poem was so good. I think I just sort of I can relate to it very much, and I was dreaming about my housemates.
Mm-hmm. So, what sort of house have you got then? Have they inspired any music so far?
Not so much yet. They're good guys. I live with three lads.
Mm-hmm.
We live just outside the city centre, and we're all very different, but we make it work, which is good.
Are you tidiest?
No.
No, you're not.
No, I'm certainly the friendliest, though.
Okay, that's good. Right, that's cool. Right, so what are we going to hear this time around?
This is a song called Maurice. It's about a fella I met in a pub who was looking a bit worse for wear.
Okay, tell us more.
So, this is Maurice.
I don't know you, Maurice, but I see you, Maurice, and I'll love you, Maurice. Yes, I'll love you, Maurice. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh. 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 I see you sitting there just talking to yourself, and I wonder why not. After all, no one will take the time to listen. You mumble as you look around like some unwelcome background sound, and people look at you as though you're like that for a reason. They don't know your story, they just see a smelly, scruffy alcoholic with no purpose but to wait until he dies. With every empty glass you light a fag and try to laugh without a hope for something better in your broken life. And I don't know you, come on.
standing up and I'm walking to your table. Not got a clue what's going on, but I find I'm drawn to you somehow. You ask me to sit down and you quickly start to mutter out a load of words that don't make sense, but I figure I'm here now. And then I picture that scene, it's you and me both talking as the day is rolling on and on and on. And I'm slowly wandering, thinking, what's the deal here? Why am I staying when my friends have gone? 'Cause I don't know you, Maurice, but I see you, Maurice, and I love you, Maurice. Yes, I love you, Maurice. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh. You are still someone. The world is so wrong. You are still someone. And people are also wrong. I don't know you, Maurice, but I see you, Maurice, and I'll love you, Maurice. Yes, I'll love you, Maurice. I don't know you, Maurice, but I see you, Maurice, and I'll love you, Maurice. Yes, I'll love you, Maurice. Oh, 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 oh.
Once again, a round of applause there, Tim.
Thank you.
Enjoying that one. That's good. I mean, I genuinely am enjoying listening to the music. I'd always say that whenever we've got somebody in. That's because we vet them first, though. That's the only reason why. But there we go. We've got you working in Wolverhampton. What is your role? Are you doing the teacher training that you signed yourself up for at uni?
Well, I trained as a teacher and taught for a little while and then went off to Uganda and came back. And I do currently do part-time supply teaching. Mm-hmm. In primary schools, work part time for a church in the city centre.
Mm-hmm.
It's called WPM. Stands for Wolverhampton Pioneer Ministries, and it's very much a church that's geared towards engaging people who find sort of conventional church difficult to engage and inaccessible, really.
Mm. So that's based at St John's, though, is it?
Well, we have an office at St John's, but we currently meet on Sunday nights in the Methodist Church in Darlington Street. Mm-hmm. In the basement. So we started off when I first moved.
Isn't that called a crypt in a church?
I guess it could be. Yeah, I don't
know. Sounds cooler.
Yeah, we meet in the crypt. It's like it's like the crib almost, isn't it? but yeah, moved to Wolverhampton about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there were about 30 people, maybe 40 people in meeting. And now we get about 70 people regularly on a Sunday night, which is really exciting. And a lot of young people from different backgrounds, different parts of Wolverhampton. And not just young people, some you know, adults and people up to about 50 years old that come along on a Sunday night. And we, you know, we'll sing songs.
So the guitar comes out for this one and maybe the saxophone as well?
Yeah. Sometimes. And, you know, there's other people that lead the songs and do some speaking. But we often, you know, we'll just share food together and do a lot of things in the city centre, like busking. And we did the street festival over the summer, which involved a lot of dancing and art and stuff, just to kind of put a bit of colour into the city and that sort of thing.
So you've got a website for the day job?
For the day job, yeah, it's wolverhamptonchurch.org. My own one for my music is timjudson.co.uk.
And there's links from there as well.
Yeah.
We've got one more tune to come from you.
Okay.
Before then, we go to the phones where we're joined once more by Mr. Jeremy Williams. Hello, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Been a while since we last spoke. And the one set of photographs, an exhibition you were looking at putting together last time we spoke, has now been done and it's on display.
It is. Well, it's been installed today and it goes on show tomorrow. So, yeah, so it's been realised, which is great.
Now, tell us a bit about this one, because it's called Dolls.
It's called Dolls. So Actually, it all started off about a year ago, and I was looking at fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, out of everywhere, I saw four exhibitions all to do with fairy tales, and I thought, okay, scrap that. But I didn't want to lose the childhood connection, so I went back to the drawing board and thought, dolls. And it's a look at stereotype through dolls and how socially it's acceptable to stereotype dolls, but at the same time we're teaching children not to stereotype people, and how there's a thin line between the two.
And it must have been quite good fun to put together as well, because there must have been a few giggles as you were taking the pictures, getting people to stand like they were a doll.
It was great fun to do, and it was also quite a fun project because I involved a lot of friends in the project. I think about five of the nine images were with friends, and then four of them were using models that I didn't know. So it was great as well to see my friends out of their comfort zone. But it was one of those projects when I was telling friends about it, they were like, oh, it'd be great to be involved. And I just thought, well, if I can make that work, I will. And so I did, and I think it works well. It's good as well just to work with friends in that way.
So there are nine pictures in the series?
There's nine pictures at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's a series which is, it's on show as a nine, but I'm looking to extend it further still. There are still dolls that I'd like to explore, so we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay, so give us an idea of those that you've already got in the exhibition.
Okay, so you've got your standard Barbie and Ken, who are actually Carly and Carly's boyfriend, Ben. You've got your Action Man figure. You've got your puppet and your princess. There's the rag doll, of course, who I shouldn't really say, but the rag doll is one of my favourites. I just thought that was the first one I did, and that's the one that really sparked the idea and the growth of the idea.
And when it comes down to getting the look right, did your models have some input into that? Had they maybe got a few things in the wardrobe that they thought would work?
That's it, exactly, yeah. So it was very much creating a character based around the person. So it's in line with the rest of my work in that degree, in that I'm not changing the person in the image, but I am turning them into a doll and a specific character. So say the Action Man figure or the Barbie figure, they had to have some physical resemblance to the actual doll before I'd use them.
Now Action Man, we do know, because he's been on the show a few times, that's Ty Matthew Harris. So
that's right.
Do you see him as a plastic poseable Action Man when you talk to him?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
That was an interesting one. I spoke to him about the project, and he was interested in doing the project because we'd done a few shoots before, and then we weren't quite sure who he'd be. And
he definitely wasn't going to be Barbie now, was he? Come on.
He wasn't going to be Barbie, and facially he's got the resemblance, and I know that he goes to the gym a lot, and I just thought, well, let's give it a go as Action Man. So that was a good fun shoot, actually. We did that in the park at Cannon Hill, so that wasn't bad. It was a cold day, though, so I felt a bit sorry for him.
You're making him wander around in vest and looking like Action Man, but there you go.
That's it. just a small little vest on, so it was a little bit nippy.
Poor thing. But he survived to tell the tale, and you have the pictures on display. So where is it currently to be seen?
It's currently on at Sheffield Showcase, which is just in the centre of Sheffield. I've got a window just by the John Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And then it actually goes over to Australia. It's going to be on show in Daylesford at Can't Think Straight in May and June.
And how did you get the Australian link?
Because I lived over there, and Can't Think Straight, the shop that's attached to Can't Think Straight, the gallery, actually stocked my work regularly, and they'd wanted me to do a solo show, and I happen to think that this would be a project that would work quite nicely, and it's actually going on display there with Coming Out, which we talked about last time, so it's going on as the two series are on display at once.
So if you want to see it before it heads down under, it is the Window 5, that's the corner of Pinstone Street and Cambridge Street in Sheffield, as part of the Sheffield Showcase. Or, you say, if you want to make a trip down under, or maybe if you have listeners down there and they want to pick it up from that way, I'm sure the best way to find out all the details is on your personal website, isn't it?
That's it, and actually you can have a sneaky peek at some of the images on my website. They went up today, so you can have a sneaky look.
Give us the web address.
It's www.jeremy-williams.net. And you can also find me on Facebook, just Jeremy Williams Photography.
And search, and there you go. You'll be able to see the full set. And we've got Blythe, who I had no idea of. Baby Doll, not sure. Ragdoll, in the name, there's a clue. Ken, of course, friends with Barbie. A princess, a puppet, and Action Man. And they are available to see on display. And how big are the prints when they're actually on display?
The prints on display are 15 by 12, mm-hmm. but they're also available to purchase as 8 by 6s.
And if you never, there's a postcard trade to be had there at some point in the future as well, isn't there? I can see it coming.
Quite possibly. You never know.
You don't. And I wasn't sure whether you should talk about this, but we've also got another one called Censored. Explain a little about this particular display.
Well, Censored went on show in New York, actually. It was my New York debut about 3 weeks ago as part of a group show at the Leslie Lohman. And Censored is a look at the imbalance between male and female censorship. So it's an interesting little six-image series, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's quite revealing in itself.
It is quite revealing in itself. The models, it was actually shot in my living room here, so the models had to reveal all in my living room, and it's just a natural look. It's a natural look at the body. There's two sets of images, one sort of slightly more sexually charged than the other, but still keeping the natural beauty of the body and just saying that in its natural form is there any need for censorship, but at the same time pointing out areas of imbalance between the two forms and how we as a society censor the body differently.
Okay, well, that one, again, you can find details on that one. We'll pop to New York and see that on display. And where in New York is that?
That's at the Leslie Lohman Gallery. But hopefully it will come on show somewhere in the UK, so I shall keep you updated.
Okay, keep us posted. Once again, the website, if people want to find out more.
It's www.jeremy-williams.net.
And as I have a 3D camera at some point, the intention is I've got to try and put together a 3D photographic shoot of you, just for a bit of fun. We want to see you in 3D doing your photography type thing.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a good challenge. I think we'll see what's going to happen with that. It's very much a watch this space and see where we go with it.
And you've got to explain to me how on earth you write a proposal for a sort of a photographic shoot as well, which is an art in itself, isn't it, when you're putting something like this together?
Well, it's hard to sort of really put into words exactly what you're trying to say with the image without giving too much away. So within the proposal, you've really got to intimate at what you're getting at without giving it all. It's a real sort of baffling process, and it's a matter of bashing out loads of drafts and being aware of what your intentions are really crystal clearly, while at the same time allowing the image to speak for itself, so that with the proposal you're not treating somebody as if they're stupid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting one, and one I always struggle with, actually. But I usually have quite a strong notion of where I want to go with something, so it's a matter of focusing in on that.
Well, we'll try and put that together, and maybe we get to meet up, because we tried to sort this out last week to try and get Zoe together with you as well, so you can do some classy pictures of her, but it wasn't to be, unfortunately. So we'll set something up sometime in the near future and get you in real life on the show as well.
That sounds good to me. I'm going to be in Birmingham in May, so we'll try and sort something out then.
We'll see what we can do. It's not too far down the road for us. Jeremy, as ever, good to talk to you. Thanks again for joining us.
Lovely to speak to you.
Cheers. Try for now.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. So, Tim, once more, we return to you, and you have a final tune for us and a bit more of a natter to have before we throw you back out onto the streets of Wolverhampton. For you to walk home, I suppose. From Molyneux, not too long a walk to get home?
No, in about 10 minutes, I would say.
That's not too bad. Looking guitar down the street, and in fact taking it to Uganda as well, that can't be the easiest of things to do.
No. I've seen people do more.
I've seen people on push bikes with things on the back. I think, you fall off, you've done made a very expensive accident just there. do you have one guitar that is your faithful friend, or...?
Yeah, this is my Taylor guitar. This is kind of my special one. I mean, I have I recently got myself a classical guitar because I'm going to be involved in a play with a theatre company called Saltmine Theatre Company, which are based in Dudley. Mm-hmm. And for that, I wanted to get a sort of classical Spanish guitar sort of sound for that play. But this is the beast.
So this is the one that it travels. How many thousand miles has that done then?
Oh gosh. quite a few. I mean, when I go overseas, I'll take another one, which is a sort of cheaper one, which if it gets a bit battered and bruised, which it does, then it doesn't matter too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the classy sounding one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose you use that for when you're recording in the studio as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because you released a few EPs and albums along the way, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. I did an album just at the end of university, basically all the CDs I sell raise money towards these next overseas trips. And so I've done one from songs from Uganda, one a little EP that I did to raise money for that, and mm-hmm. I was in Israel and Palestine last year, and raised an album for that, which is raise money for a Thailand trip this coming summer where I'll be working in an orphanage for a while.
You get about it, don't you?
I do, yeah. And it's a great privilege to be able to raise money by selling CDs, doing the thing I love. So yeah.
Well, that's because you can sing and play guitar well. I think that's what actually makes a CD sell.
I guess it makes its fortune, isn't it? Yeah.
It does help. Oh, there we are. Right, okay, what's our final tune we're going to hear?
Brilliant. This is a song called Streetlight.
And don't let the street light distract your eyes. Wait and see, for billions of stars will be here to cover the skies. Don't turn away from the dark of the night. Soon they will glisten and fade into sight. Stand here beside me, don't go until you have seen. The day are bigger than the street light. They are bigger than the street light. Watch as the stars become bright and clear. As we move, leaving the city behind, I'll take you from here. Far from distractions and all of the things that get in the way of you being free. Shining together, all of the stars still believe that they are bigger than the street light. They are bigger than the street light. So be strong and feel what's behind you as we all leave. Don't give in, the stars will be shining, although you might not see. But deep in the darkness, the strongest of sparks will shoot through and leave a collection of marks. Guiding our steps and showing us all where we are. And they are bigger than the street light. They are bigger than the street light. They are bigger than the street light. All the stars, they are bigger than the street light.
Excellent. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing your music. Really, really enjoyed it. And good to have you in it. So give us the web details again for your, both your music and to find out about the other activities you get up to traveling the world.
Yeah, the website for my music is www.timjudson.co.uk.
And links there to pretty much everything else that's going on. And can you buy the music online as well?
Yep. You can have a listen and check out YouTube links. And you can there's a contact page for getting in touch about buying CDs and things.
And do you do gigs around the area too?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I take bookings for either folk clubs or, you know, various different functions or conferences or playing, you know, different churches and things. But yeah, do pretty much anything and, yeah.
And with this, are you looking for a musical career, or is it something you do alongside the rest of your work? And it's more about part of your music's more your life rather than your life becoming music.
Yeah, it's a good question. I have thought about it sometimes, and I mean, the gigs that I do do sort of support me for a living in some way, but I'm not fully dependent on it. And I think if I was to make music and gigging and songwriting my job, my livelihood, then I would imagine, I'm not positive, but I'd imagine that it would probably take some of the joy out of it. And I think the songwriting is a kind of creative outlet for the rest of my life, which is quite healthy, I think. So I guess if it was to become my life, then I might lose my creative outlet or have to find something else, like playing tiddlywinks or something.
Well, there's the Olympics is on the way. There may be a tiddlywinks championship in there somewhere, but you never know. I still think that there's good potential for you to flog a few albums on a much larger scale than you're doing at the minute, to be fair.
Oh, maybe. I'll have to see. If anyone wants to give me a booking, that'd be great.
Okay. Tim, thank you for joining us.
Cheers, thanks.
All right, we'll clear off back for episode 149 next week. Fingers crossed Zoe may turn up to the studio. How you have post-birthday celebrations, celebrating in Wales. What a way to do it. There we go. Back next week, and ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.